Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
So there was this fella, you may have heard the story. He was struggling, so, which can certainly happen and sometimes needs to happen. He went to a psychiatrist and he walked in and first time visit, psychiatrist, doctor said, sit down there on the couch, lay down, take a few deep breaths. So he did. He said, so what brings you here today? He said, well, doc, I think I'm a dog. Said, yeah? Yeah, I think I'm a dog. Feel like I'm a dog. I think I'm a dog. He said, well, how long has this been going on? How long have you felt this way? He said, ever since I was a puppy. I have been a Southern Baptist ever since I was a puppy. Long time. I identify with Dr. R.G. Lee, who once was a well-known, famous pastor at Bellevue in Memphis years ago. He said, I was Baptist born, I was Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be a Baptist dead. I often tell Brother Phil, when we go visit people in the hospital, I say, now, Brother Phil, listen, something major happens to me. I want to go to Baptist because that's where I will die. I just want to go ahead and just do that. Land the plane right there at the Baptist hospital. He just says, well, yeah, well. Now, I want you to know that today, I want to talk to you as we begin our hot topics, questions that people ask. Sometimes they're more flaming hot than others, but still some people ask the question. And I feel like this is appropriate, especially since there have been some articles recently in the USA Today, Clarion and Ledger, about Southern Baptists. I come to you to talk about just what does it mean to be a Southern Baptist. I'm not talking about Northern Baptist. I'm not talking about Independent Baptist. I'm not talking about Missionary Baptist. There are a lot, in case you don't know, there's a lot of different flavors of Baptist. Independent Baptist. No. I don't feel as qualified, though I don't know everything about Southern Baptists, to talk about those other Baptists. We have always been a Southern Baptist church. So today, you will notice in your outline, there's the word Baptist that we're going to use as an acrostic to try to help you, not just for now, but in the days ahead. If somebody says, so you're a Southern Baptist, give me an example of what it means to be a Southern Baptist. Now, we won't dig in. We could go deep, okay? If you would like to come to the new member class, it's typically on the first Sunday at 9 o'clock every month except for the month of July, then you come. It might be, well, I'm already a member. Well, you might want to refresh your course. Mrs. Sister Sonia teaches and facilitates that class, and we hand out curriculum, and I'd make an appearance in there for a brief period of time to see if people have questions about what our particular church, which is under the umbrella of Southern Baptists, believe in the direction we're going and those kinds of things. You feel free to go. Miss Sonia won't kick you out. There were some longtime members there this past time that they met on a Sunday morning at 9. So just be aware of that. And then if you say, you know what, I'd like to know even more. Well, there's information that's provided. We can share that with you. I know Brother Phil can, other staff, lay people can. Or if you want to just come by and chat, call the church office. Miss Stephanie will take your name, number. Again, I don't know everything, but I'd be glad one afternoon especially, sit down, just talk about Southern Baptists, because we are definitely an interesting group. Now, I want to share with you about what I mean when I say I was a puppy. And again, I'm not sharing this like I know everything. I just want to make sure, because not everybody knows my background. Been here almost a year and a half. My daddy was a Southern Baptist preacher. His daddy was a Southern Baptist preacher professor at Mississippi College. Daddy graduated from Mississippi College, which is one of our three Baptist schools. My mother grew up at First Jackson. Her daddy, Mr. Overstreet, was a deacon at First Jackson. My mother went to Blue Mountain College, one of our three Baptist colleges, for a year. And then she went to Mississippi College. That's where they met. My dad went to Southern Seminary, our first Southern Baptist seminary. We have six, and that one is in Louisville, Kentucky. My granddaddy, preacher professor, named the second son Harold Tribble. Daddy gave me that name. I'm a junior, Harold Tribble Jr. The reason he gave him that name is because his favorite professor at the time was named Dr. Harold Tribble. I've got a book in my office written by Dr. Harold Tribble that was long gone before I came around about doctrines of the faith. I went to seminary after MC, finally let me out, and went to some Southern Baptist seminaries along the way. So I share that with you to say that there's been a background. Don't know everything. Recently went to the convention last week. Going to get into that just a little bit. And I'm thankful, not proud. People can misunderstand that term. But I'm grateful and I'm thankful for my background and my upbringing and for the fact that I continue to choose as an adult to be involved with our Southern Baptist Convention and pastor in a Southern Baptist church. Now, I want to say this, and then I found out I went to I think I went when I was 12, and I may have gone as a young adult, 21, 22. There's always a Kitchings reunion outside of Morton, Mississippi in Forkville. Anybody know where Forkville is? Anyway, I've been there a few times. It's outside of Morton. So every year there is, with Pop Kitchings, and there were several sisters and one other brother named Baskin. And I went to their reunion. It was on a Saturday, and it worked out right before the convention. I decided I'm back in the state. I'm going to go. So I went. Kelly wasn't able to go, and I just kind of randomly went. And they're all looking at me. And so we had a chance to say, where do you fall on the tree? So in that experience, I found out that Pop, A Square's brother, Baskin, had a son. And so I found out I've got a third cousin that's also a pastor named William Kitchings with an I-N-G-S in the Forkville, Mississippi area. So there's still another one kind of hanging around. Now, with all that being said, I want you to know, I was exposed to evangelism explosion years ago. That was started in Fort Lauderdale by D. James Kennedy. That was a non-denominational way to equip your faith. It left a huge mark on my life. When I was in Memphis many years ago, I went to a Bible study at Second Prez on a regular basis. It was called Amen Bible Study. It was early on Thursday mornings, and that's where the seed was planted for what we call Hungry Men today. And I'm grateful for Sandy, who was the preacher at that time, Sandy Wilson, had his influence on my life. I have first cousins that are no longer Southern Baptists by choice, but they are believers. I have a couple of buddies that I communicate with on a regular basis. David Thomas, Tommy Asker, that are Catholics and practicing Catholics. They are my friends, and I believe they know the Lord. I have a friend named Joel Waters that I played ball with at Clinton. He lives in Jackson, and he's active in the Methodist Church. And so he even says that I'm going to preach his funeral. And I said, well, before that, you got to be baptized by immersion. I don't say that. I'm just kidding. And then the new book that I'm writing and that I'm going to share with you a little bit more about at the end of the service before we leave is the guy who owns a publishing company, Dogwood Press, in Jackson, Mississippi area. Is not a Southern Baptist. He has an arm called Sunrise Press. It's faith-based, and that is non-denominational. So I give you my background and the fact that I'm still Southern Baptist, but I want you to know, I've got a lot of friends that aren't Southern Baptists, but they know Jesus. And that is what's most important. Sometimes growing up, I would ask daddy, because he was at the First Baptist town, county seat town. People would ask me questions, and I didn't always know the answers just because my daddy was a preacher. I'd give it my best shot. But they would tell me they believe this, and I'd come back, and I'd say, Daddy, so-and-so believes this. What does that mean? He would explain it, childlike terms, and then he would say, But you know what's most important, don't you? He'd say, Jesus. What have you or they or anyone done with Jesus? Have you admitted your sin? Have you put your faith in Jesus alone? He said, that is what's most important. And he said, don't ever, ever forget that. Understand this. Though I was born a Baptist, and I still sometimes get very frustrated with us as Baptists and Southern Baptists, even being on the heels of going to the convention in Indianapolis, there were things that go, and I used to go to, those were my vacations as a kid. We'd go to the Southern Baptist Convention, and then Daddy would tag on a few days before or after. So I've been going to these a long time. And every time I go during the business sessions, and some people will go to the mic and ask these questions. And I'm just telling y'all, I'm just being, and David's down here, David Williams, our AMS, he was there. Sometimes I think, what are they thinking? What kind of questions? What are y'all, you know, and I'm sure if I got up there to the mic, Scott, they'd probably say, well, what is he think? What is he say? So we are an interesting group. We're a weird group at times. We're a strange group of people. We are a peculiar group of people. So I'm a Southern Baptist because of conviction. As an adult, I continue to choose to be. It looks as though at my age I may cross the line. Being a Baptist, going to the Baptist hospital, but never say never, you never know. But here's what I would say. I identify with Vance Havner, who's in heaven, Southern Baptist for years. He says, I have good fellowship with all who know and love the Lord, but I'm a Baptist because I believe that the basic original position is that of the New Testament church. I do not accept all that some Baptists believe, nor do I endorse all that some Baptists do, but I stand on what Baptists started out to believe and do. And that's where I am. What we're going to do is we're going to look at the BAPTIST. And we're going to look at some of the basic tenets of our faith. I think if you boil it down, you could use these words, this across it, to say, well, these are the basics of what I believe and what I stand on, the tenets of our faith as a Southern Baptist. Again, we do not have the time to delve into everything, but we're about, and I'm watching the clock. I know it's Father's Day. I know there's places you're going. Probably would, since it's Father's Day, most of you are probably going to the buffet. That's where we like to hang out. But, so just hang on with me. But we're going to start, of course, with the B. The B stands for Born Again Members. If you're going to be a Southern Baptist, a part, a member of the church, then you must be born again. If you slipped in here somewhere along the way, I'm sorry. The Bible says today is a day of salvation, and if you've never trusted Christ, you can make that decision before you leave today. So you think about Nick at Night, John 3:3, where Nicodemus came to Jesus. What must I do to be saved? He says, you must be born again. He said, you mean go back to the mother? Oh, no. And he explained to him the way of salvation, to admit your sin, to put your faith and trust in him alone. There's Romans 10:9-11. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are, not might be, that we are children of God. These things have I written that you might know, 1 John 5:13. Not sort of know, but you might No. Make it right today. Understand that the epistles in the New Testament after the Gospels are written to individual churches. The churches in Revelation 2 and 3, were individual churches, meaning they were written to believers. Those that were born again were members of the evangelical, Christ-honoring, after Acts Church of Jesus Christ. So you must be born again members. The A could stand for the autonomy of the local church. Oh, this is a big one. We got us a big old umbrella, Southern Baptist, but we believe the autonomy of the local church. Again, the epistles, Revelation 2 and 3, the church at Thyatira, the church at Philadelphia, individual churches. Self-governing and free-standing, autonomous. Our constitution and bylaws that we have at East Haven are different. We tweak those occasionally. Our mission giving is different than other Southern Baptist churches with percentages and who we give to. Our music selections are different from our Southern Baptist churches in Lincoln County in the world. We have a big umbrella, but we are individual churches. For example, we were not told by our convention or our Mississippi Baptist Pope, tongue-in-cheek, to build the Haven Cross. We did not ask for their blessing, although they've issued their blessing even in an article in the Baptist Record and on other occasions. If you visit all the Southern Baptist churches just in our association, you will notice differences. All you have to do after the service, I wasn't sure if Brother David would be here, but he hears. Our very own AMS is right here. Raise your hand, David. If you think, well, are we all different? Go talk to him afterwards. I'm pretty sure he can give you some examples. It takes all kind of churches to reach all kinds of people. And in every Southern Baptist church in the association, or in our state, you'll also find that the pastors are also probably a lot different, just like the membership and the churches are. Some of you have already asked me some questions about this past convention and one of the biggest things that came up that we dealt with. And so if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm going to touch on it. And then if you're still not quite sure, talk to David after. He'll be sure to explain it to you. I'll be glad to talk to you at some point, but there was a recommendation, an amendment posed to our Baptist faith and message, the possibility of it, in regards to women pastors, okay? So there was one article that was in the Clarion Ledger, but it's basically from the USA Today, that says this: Southern Baptist fail to ban women pastors. Now, when I read that, I thought, oh man, that is so misleading. That's misleading. That is so wrong. The average person that reads that say, oh, I know we had women senior pastors. I didn't know we had on a regular basis women that served as ordained deacons. I didn't know. So it can be confusing. Then there was one that came out in the Clarion Ledger, today's paper, titled, little better. Information, little better. It says, Mississippi Baptist leaders speak out on SBC ruling on women leading churches. And here's what it says. While the Southern Baptist Convention rejected an all-out constitutional ban on women pastors Wednesday at its convention in Indianapolis, Mississippi's SBC leadership says the vote was not needed, and women still may not serve in the role of a lead pastor. The decision was hailed as a major victory for those within the nation's largest Protestant denomination seeking to maintain local church autonomy, there's that word, autonomy, and soften what may be considered a growing antagonism toward women in ministry. And then it says, at the end of the day, and this is Dr. Sean Parker, the new Dr. Jim Futrell, executive director of Mississippi Baptist. I'm just getting to know Dr. Parker. He says, at the end of the day, I don't think there's much that is different. Sean Parker, Executive Director, Treasurer of the Mississippi Baptist Convention Board, told the Clarion-Ledger, the Constitution remains as it is. Amending the Constitution, which did not pass, amending the Constitution really isn't necessary because our confession of faith already confirms that we believe the office of pastor is reserved for qualified men. So it really wasn't necessary for the Constitution to be amended. Parker went on to say that in his opinion, getting a full two-thirds vote for the constitutional amendment only would have corroborated the language that was already in place, possibly made it confusing. He says, without its passage, it doesn't nullify the confession of faith because that's been in place for more than 100 years. And you say, well, what is he talking about? Batch Faith and Message passed in 2000 at some point, and it was revised in 2000 to clarify the role of the family and some things they address. It may be tweaked again, kind of like a church's autonomous constitution and bylaws. It can be different than other Southern Baptist churches, but here it is in 2000. That's why some say, oh man, are we going liberal? Have we got, no, let's what it says. Here's what it says. Okay, 2000. Article 6, the church, the New Testament church, the Lord Jesus Christ, is an autonomous, I told y'all we like that word. We believe in it. Local congregation of baptized believers associated by covenant in the faith and fellowship of the gospel, observing the two ordinances of Christ, governed by his laws, exercising the gifts, rights, and privileges invested in them by his word, and seeking to extend the gospel to the ends of the earth. And then it says, its scriptural officers are pastors and deacons. While both men and women are gifted to serve in the church, the office of pastor is limited to men as qualified by scripture. So nothing has changed. This has been the way it's been for 100 years. So if you say, oh man, did we change? No, we did. It's still exactly what it says right there. So, autonomy of the local church, and then the P. Here's another big tenet of our faith. Priesthood of every believer. The scripture mentioned this. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 10. Revelation 1, 5 and 6. 5, 9 through 10. Chapter 20, verse 5. We are not a creedal people, not a people that has to go to confessional to a person. What have I read? I was told this. I found this in my notes from years ago. It was my Catholic buddy or somebody in the Catholic religion told me this. They said, one of my Catholic friends told me this, that an older priest, because you know they go to confessional and they confess their sins and they go to a little booth. He said that an older priest told a younger priest once that during confessionals, he had to stop saying at the end of people confessing their sins the word, wow. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You do not have to come to me as the pastor to confess your sins. Now, the Bible talks about confessing our sins one to another so we might have prayer support, so we might encourage one another, so we might be reminded of God's grace in our life. But as far as having to go through a human being to get to God, no, Jesus took care of that. So that's what we believe the Bible teaches on that, the priesthood of every believer. Here's what James Merritt, one time president of the Southern Baptist Convention, once said about this. The sea of the priesthood of the believer ends at the shore of biblical authority. The next word, letter, two. Two ordinances, already been alluded to as I read the Baptist Faith and Message. Believers' baptism by immersion in the Lord's Supper. Matthew 26, 23-28 for the Lord's Supper. And John 3, 23 as an example of baptism. And then in Acts chapter 8, you can read about the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. One is a one-time experience if done after conversion by immersion, like we witnessed today. The other, Lord's Supper, Communion is symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The body is the blood of Jesus. Do the autonomy of the local church. Some do it weekly. Some do it monthly. Some do it at different times other than the Sunday mornings. But we all do it in remembrance of him. And contrary, listen closely, to what some Baptists, Southern Baptists think, we do not own the rights to the company of Welch's grape juice. We don't. Do you know it could be another type of juice? Does it have to be Welch's? It could be something else. And you know those little bread things that can, at least the ones growing up, some of you have had, they're real hard, you know? And then we got smart. We did it all in one, the two for one. You know the little thing that has the juice and you're thinking, how long has that juice been in there? We Southern Baptists, we got to be careful. And then you got the little styrofoam thing. Those things are awful. But it's not about snacks during church. It's to remember what Christ has done for us. So if you go somewhere and there's a different type of bread, different type of juice, celebrate. That's just a reminder of what Christ has done for us. But we believe in the two ordinances. And then, okay, B-A-B-T-I, inerrant word of God. All one must do is read and understand 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 and know that's who we are, that's where we stand, that's something we believe in. All scripture is given by inspiration of God as profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We believe in God's word. A Presbyterian preacher once said this about Southern Baptists. He says, I love you Baptists and admire you Baptists because you believe the Bible. Baptists are devoted to the Bible. Baptists will die for the Bible. Baptists will do anything but read the Bible. One seminary professor put it this way. Without a firm grounding in the doctrine of the authority of the Bible, we are really just swimming in a sea of speculation. If the Bible is not the final adjudicator of doctrinal construction, then something else has to be. And whatever that other thing is will lead to compromise on the whole range of theological affirmations that have marked historic Orthodox Christianity. Back during the conservative resurgence back in the 80s, the mid-80s, the latter 80s, when I was in seminary part of that time, during the convention, Dr. Jerry Vines, then at First Jacksonville, Florida, preached a message at the convention entitled, A Baptist and His Bible. Here's a small portion. Dr. Vine says, the Holy Scriptures. That is Baptist talk. When you find a Baptist somewhere nearby, you will find a Bible. That Baptist will speak of the Bible in his hands with respectful tones. Baptists are eagerly early taught to love and respect the Bible on a hot summer day at vacation Bible school. Little Baptist feet carry little Baptist bodies into the awesome church auditorium. Billy Baptist will stand before his little classmates with trembling hands. He holds a Bible. Little Baptist voices sing, Holy Bible, Book Divine, Precious Treasure, Thou Art Mine. Baptists are known to be people of the book. We are a Bible reading, Bible believing, Bible loving, and Bible sharing people. Which brings me to the next point, security of the believer. Romans 8:16 says the Spirit itself testifies and confirms together that we can know that the Spirit lives inside of us. 1 John 5:13, again, these things have I written that you might know that you have eternal life. Fanny Crosby has written thousands of hymns. She was a blind lady way back in the day. And if you study Baptist history, you'll hear about Fanny Crosby. She was blind, but she wrote these hymns. And somebody came to her and played a tune and said, what does that say? What does that tune say? She said, oh, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That is one of many hymns that we've sung through the years and that we believe on. And then the last letter is tell the good news. Tell the good news. Now, before I major on this, I want you to know something, speaking of the security of the believer. It's by God's grace that we are saved. It may be that you've heard recently of those that have been leaders in Christianity have fallen. It may be that you know that from time to time this has happened in our past, and until Jesus comes back, there's a possibility, a strong one, because we are depraved and we're sinful, that it could happen again. That's why you must not put your eyes on a man. We need to be reminded to always keep our eyes ultimately on Jesus Christ. But if those pastors or leaders or deacons or teachers have had a moral failure of some kind, and they're going through restoration, they're going through reconciliation, that does not mean that they have fallen from grace. Once saved, always saved. Because you put your faith in Jesus Christ alone. And many of those, or a number of them, will be broken and repentant and go through a type of reconciliation to get right with God. And then depending on their denomination, their church, their beliefs, their doctrine, will determine what that means as far as their future involvement and leadership position. So be grateful. Be grateful for the security of the believer that is thoroughly biblical. If righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Tell the good news. The last T, tell the good news. Acts 1:8, Matthew 28:18 through 20. We've always made a great commotion about the Great Commission. Billy Graham, who was a Southern Baptist, says we have a magnificent obsession with what? Missions and evangelism. Our cooperative program of the Southern Baptist Convention, anytime we give, a percentage of that supports seminaries, ethics committee, all kinds of mission work. Our students that go on mission, there's different ways that we support our Baptist student unions. I mean, we could go on and on about the cooperative program. That's why the class that we teach once a month is very important, because it dives into that. Our own college students. And then at Indianapolis, I was reminded how mission-minded we are. In other words, in spite of how weird we can be and how we can argue about different things, sometimes that aren't important in the big scheme of things, just like local churches, we believe in sharing the gospel all over the world. That's what Acts 1:8, Matthew 28:18 through 20. When it comes down to it, tell the good news. Share the gospel is a big part of what we are about. And that's why when we give, and this year our intent and plan is to give more to the cooperative program and some of our causes, is because that's part of who we are and what we want to do. We want to go on mission trips and the mission field, and we want to give, and we want to pray. But we've got to understand that's a big part of who we are as Southern Baptists. I want to ask you to stand, because I'm going to give us a Southern Baptist invitation. Our staff's going to join me. We're going to have a song here. And so here's our invitation. If you have never, ever put your faith in Jesus alone, maybe you grew up in church, maybe you've been out of church for a long time, but you came on Father's Day for whatever reason, but you know that you have never admitted your sin and put your faith in Jesus, this invitation's for you. You say, well, what do I do? When we start singing, you walk down here, and one of our men or women, depending on who you are, will talk with you and explain the gospel. They'll not embarrass you. They won't ask you to name the books of the Bible. They'll just share with you what it means to put your faith in Jesus alone. You may or may not join this church. The most important decision you make is putting your faith in Jesus. That's part of this invitation. What's the other part? Well, maybe you are a Christian, but you've never followed through with believer's baptism. Then you come and say, you know what? I need to be baptized, just like what we saw today, and I want to schedule that. You come tell us. We'll work it out. You say, well, what else is a Southern Baptist invitation? Well, it can be this. It might be that God's calling you to the ministry or the mission field, and you need to have some accountability and some prayer support. You come and you tell us, and we can tell others, and they can start praying for you, and we can walk through that with you. Well, what else? It may be, even though we have new member class, some people go straight to the new member class. Some people want to come forward and say, I want to join this fellowship. I want to walk through that new members class, and you come and do that. There are other people at times that pray at the altar during an invitation. That's why I can't wait till we get our prayer benches right there and right there. Because I'm telling you, by God's grace, I'm hoping that over time we'll feel the freedom to come and seek God and pray during invitation at other times. This is God's church. Remember, what is most important is Jesus and living for Him and trying to help the church of Jesus Christ to be a Jesus, Bible-believing, trusting church that believes in telling people about the Lord. God, this is your invitation. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.